And you're probably wondering, like, well, what does that mean? And it means that William and Lee serve as representatives and role models. Did you know you were role models? You are role models of what it looks like to be Christian disciples in the church and in our daily lives in the world. The function of the lay leaders also, our lay leaders work very closely with our pastors as well as the leadership of this church in helping to interpret and advance the mission and the vision of Park Avenue. They're also bridge builders. They've been called to be listeners, active listeners, where they are listening for the heart of what's going on in the congregation and making sure that we are aware and in tune. Because, you know, sometimes we can be so busy doing church that we miss things. They also help to interpret for the congregation what is on the heart of the pastors. Y'all got a pretty awesome job there, huh? And the other role, they serve also. They have a right to vote. They serve on the ad board. They have a right to attend the SPRC meetings. Our lay leaders play an important role as advocates, as listeners, as bridge builders, as reminders that we all have gifts and we are all called to serve in the kingdom. Amen. And so if you would stretch your hands toward our lay leaders, Pastor Will you come and lay hands on our lay leaders that we might pray for them? Stretch out your hands. And so, Lord God, we are so grateful that you are God who calls us. You are God who sees us. And, Lord, William and Lee heard your call and they said yes. And so, Lord, we pray that through this year, Lord, that you, God, would undergird them, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them to hear and you would help them to respond, Lord, that you would help them, God, to know the task that is before them. You would help them to be faithful. And that, Lord God, that, Lord, that even as this responsibility as role model, that, Lord, that ultimately, Lord, that it would not be a heavy burden, but it would be a privilege and honor because you are the ultimate role model. And so keep your view, your sight, your ways, and your character ever before them that they might live into it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And so this morning, I'm going to invite William to come and read this morning's scripture.
I'm going to tell you, Pastor Cynthia asked me to read. I'm used to reading children's books. So it's no easier when the audience is my 4-year-old son. So bear with me as I read this. The scripture today is going to be taken from Exodus 33, 12, 22, 23. So I'll let you guys get a chance to grab your Bible. Each pew should have a couple, so you can read along with the participatory sport and not just all on me.
Moses said unto the Lord, "See, you have said to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you in favor in your sight. Consider to the nations is your people, he said. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it not be known that I have found favor in your sight, and I your people, unless you go with us. In this way we shall be distinct, and I and your people, from every people on the face of this earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight. I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all goodness pass by before you, and will proclaim you by name. The Lord and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I show mercy. He said, you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. And the Lord continued, see, there is place by me where to stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand until it pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face will not be seen. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading and hearing of his word.
Thank you. Let us pray. And so, Lord God, we thank you for your word. And we, your people, God, we have gathered in this place. And you've already blessed us. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, we're hungry for you. And so we ask you to bless us with your word. We ask that you would speak to us, Lord. We're leaning in. We're listening. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock. You're our redeemer. You are our savior. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Eugene Peterson, in his book, The Jesus Way, writes, there are no secrets to living out the Christian life. No prerequisite attitudes, no conditions more or less favorable to pursuing the way. Anyone can do this from any place, starting at any time. But it never takes place without prayer. Prayer provides the primary language for everything that takes place on the way of Jesus. We pray because prayer is the only language we have for speaking to God revealed in Jesus. Prayer is the only language we have for listening to the commands and the blessings and the guidance that God provides through Jesus. Peterson goes on to say, prayer is not something that is added to the Christian life. Prayer is the language in which that life is lived out. Prayer is the language where our life is nurtured and developed. Prayer is the language where our life is informed. It is the language in which life believes, life loves. It's the language where life explores and where life seeks and life finds. Prayer is the street language. I like that. Prayer is the street language that we use with Jesus, who walks on the streets with us. But there's this thing about streets. There's this thing about streets where we find some that are more attractive, more inviting. There are some streets we would prefer to go down, some that we would prefer to walk down, and others we would rather avoid. Sometimes we find streets closed off, barricaded due to some calamity or sinkhole. And it is the same way with prayer. As necessary as prayer is, we often find ourselves with all kinds of barriers to seeking God in prayer. Sometimes sorrow and grief, despair, it mutes us and it takes away our speech. Sometimes a sense of inadequacy, not being eloquent enough or not knowing how to pray, keeps us silent. Sometimes we find ourselves so worn down by praying the same prayer for so long that it's gone so long that we no longer want to have any conversations with God. And we stop praying. Other times, shame and guilt that so often accompanies sin or missing the mark, blowing it, it causes us to avoid God and to avoid conversations with God. This morning's text is a lesson to help us find our way in prayer. God and Moses, they're having what I call a crucial conversation. Have you ever had a crucial conversation with God? They are in prayer together, and in order to fully understand the prayer, we need to know the backstory, because you know the truth is that in every conversation, there is a backstory. God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, right? Y'all know that? Know that part, right? After bringing the Israelites out, God initiates this special relationship with them, calling them to be God's treasured possession, to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. Moses has been up on the mountain in prayer for 40 days and 40 nights. He's been in conversation with God, but the people who Moses is up on the mountain and the people are down here, and they become restless and impatient and anxious and fearful. Surely this type of absence means that God has abandoned them. They are a godless people. And as a deeply religious people, they need to find an alternative to Moses. They need to find someone who can stand in the gap for them. So they do what people are prone to do, right? They sought a new God to replace the one that had disappeared. That's what we do. They threw in all their jewelry, all their ornaments. They put them together, and they made themselves a golden calf, and they worshiped it. And this blatant act of sin was an affront to God, to God's holiness, and the sovereignty of God. God gets angry. Moses gets angry. And then what happens next is the stuff that makes the Old Testament kind of hard to take. You know, it's like Moses takes the tablets of the Ten Commandments. He drops them, smashes them to the ground to a million pieces. It's like to really signify that this covenant is broken. And then he takes the golden calf and he burns it. He grounds it in the powder. He scatters it in the water. And then he makes the Israelites drink the water. And then he has those who will stand with him, the Levites. He has them to go through the camp. He has them to go through the camp with swords tied on each hand, and just to strike and tear down brothers and friends and neighbors, and symbolically showing that those who are with God are set apart, and those who are not, well, there it is. God brings a plague up through the camp. And when I read that, this is the stuff where it's like, oh, Old Testament, I don't quite get this, and I don't get this God. It's not very pleasant. And when we think about this, it's like this is the kind of stuff that makes it hard to pray. You know, this is the stuff that says, well, oh, this kind of ranks kind of high, when it's like, I don't know if I want to get too close to this God. But it's actually in times like this, times when we have failed, when we have blown it, that we most need to pray. I would argue that it is in times like this when we most need intercessors, when we need prayer warriors with chutzpah, when we need prayer warriors with moxie and boldness and some courage. It's like times like this, times where we put on ornaments and we've been seduced by the destructive powers of living in a consumer-driven society. It's in times like this when we have gone away from ourselves, lost track of who we are, that we need somebody. We need someone who knows the audacious power of authentic prayer. We need somebody who will have the courage to stand and who will go back and intercede to God and help us get back on track. And the good news in this text is, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter how mute we become in our prayer life, no matter how close we find ourselves from God, God is still concerned about us. Israel has messed up in a big way, but God is still committed to Israel. The way is still forward. God is set on leading Israel to the place that God has promised, and this is good news for us today. Somebody needs to hear me this morning that failure, missing the mark, getting off track, losing our way does not negate the fact that God knows the plans that God has for us, plans to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope. God is faithful. God is always faithful to God's promises. And this is the heart of our biblical faith. This conversation between God and Moses, it's like a model prayer. This is a prayer that's a model born out of what? A relationship with God. A prayer conversation where there is deep faith and deep trust. Moses brings his heart, his full self to God. And this is the same Moses, by the way, who when first called by God to lead the children out of Israel, this is the Moses who said, God, can you get somebody else? Have you ever been in that place like, God, can you please, why can't Pastor Will preach this morning? God, can you please get somebody else? This text gives us a picture of what prayer looks like when we find ourselves on the journey, clear that God is calling us to go forward, clear that God is saying that our call is upward and it is onward. It is the prayer that we pray when we know that we must keep moving forward in this journey to new life, because we are clear that the God who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. Failure cannot be, must never be the reason why we give up on God, because God never, hear me, God never gives up on us. This is a picture of prayer. When we are clear that God is sovereign and we are not. This is the prayer we pray when we are ready to settle for nothing less than God's best for us. This is the prayer that we pray when we are stripped down and ready to get to the heart of the matter when it talks about our life and we are ready to walk it straight. There are so many different ways to pray. But this is the prayer that we pray when we are experiencing what theologian Walter Brueggemann calls a crisis of presence. This is the prayer we pray out of the cry of an anxious heart longing for peaceful rest. Does anybody need rest this morning? Does anybody need a fresh touch of God's presence this morning? Moses, in this text, he asked for three things of God. He wants to know God's ways. He wants an assurance of God's presence, and he wants to see God's glory. Moses needs to know God's ways, or another way of saying this is he needs a fresh and deeper understanding of the person and the character of God. The prayer opens up with a remembering, a restating, telling God what God has already said. Because sometimes, y'all, we have to go back, and as we're telling God, we're telling ourselves. And so Moses says to God, you told me to lead these people. He said, like, God, you told me to parent these children. God, you told me to lead this church. God, you told me to educate these children. Lord, you said you know me by name. Lord, you said, you know that if you know me by name, then you know that I belong to you. You know that I am yours and you are mine. And if you know me by name, then you know I am ill-equipped. You know I'm a hot mess. You know that I am prone to miss it. If you know me by name, then you know what I need. And then he says, like, Lord, let's just make this real plain, Lord. Lord, these are your people. These are your people. This is your church. This is your ministry. These are your children. God, ultimately, they belong to you. Take care of your business. Handle your business with your people, God. And then he says, and Lord, since you said I found favor in your sight, teach me your ways. There's more of you I need to know about. Yesterday's grace was good, but I need a fresh grace this morning. It's a reminder that God's ways are not like our ways, and God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. God's ways are higher than ours. God's thoughts are higher. God don't think like we do, and we need to know God's ways. The stakes are high. The trust is sacred. And Jesus, as he was facing death on the cross, he tells the disciples, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I may be, you'll be there also. And then Jesus says, and you know the way I'm going. And that's why I love Thomas. Thomas said, excuse me, Lord, we don't know the way you're going. So how can we follow? We can only know the best way to go, the best way to live out this life by knowing the way of God as revealed in Jesus. We pray and we prayerfully study the word and the life of Jesus so that we might know God's ways, because God does not think like we do. Moses prays for God's ways, and he prays for an assurance of God's presence. In this life, on this journey, if we are to walk it out, anybody who's on this journey, you know it is not easy. And Lord knows, as much as we would like God to write it on the wall, it is not clear what's up ahead. And we need power to go, and we need power to stay, and we need power to stick it out. And it comes from knowing God's ways, and it comes from having an assurance of God's presence. The question that's been working me over is, what does it matter if God goes or if an emissary goes? What does it matter? God says, I'm going to send an angel. Isn't that good enough? And why is that not good enough? And then I ask myself, well, what is it to settle for nothing less than God's presence? And I kept thinking, I kept hearing the song of Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. They kept saying to me, ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Ain't nothing like the real thing. And then I'm like, well, what's at stake? What is at stake if God does not go? Is it like the game that we play where, you know, it's like somebody says something at the front of the line and you pass it on and you pass it on and you pass it on and you keep passing it, and then it gets to the end and you don't even know what the original message was? Or is it that the stakes are so high because we're standing between the life God has promised and life that's just good enough? Is it about like I need to know God's presence because it is too much? It is too much if I want all that God has for me to say that I can't leave it to a substitute or a stand-in. When that decision to go has been made, I think it comes down to making a decision between God's permissive will and God's perfect will. When I was interviewing at Park Avenue for the director of operations, and they asked me this question, and Lee was there, and they asked him, said, like, we have many great candidates. We have many great candidates. We have three, actually, and what makes you the better one? And I'm like, they are all great, and the only way is because you've prayed, and you know that out of all of us, because we're good, that you're only going to stop at the best. Now, I ain't trying to brag about myself, but it comes to a decision to say, Lord, I only want the best. There is much good, but I will settle for nothing less than your best in my life. I believe that it's in this place where our authentic prayers become audacious prayers, prayers that give us courage and boldness to press in for what we need. The text reads that the Lord responds to Moses, my presence goes with you, and I will give you rest. But Moses is interesting. He keeps pressing the issue. And I think the reason he keeps pressing the issue, because if you read it in the original language, in the Hebrew, God says, my presence will go. With you is omitted. Moses keeps pressing, I believe, because in the words of my friend Leah, sometimes we have to press and keep praying and pray specifically. The request is specific. Lord, Moses is saying, we need to hear that you will go with us. And not just go, but that you will go and be not just with Moses, but you will go and be with the people of Israel. I hear him saying, like, God, I need to know that you will not just go with me, but that you will go all the way. And Moses keeps pressing, because I believe he's pressing like Jacob, where Jacob wrestled all night long and said, God, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. That's the power of audacious prayer. And it's like he just keeps pressing. And I believe that this is the lesson for us, that here's the truth. On this journey, if God does not go with us, can you say, God, just leave me where I am? If we're going to go into this neighborhood and do some work, God, we need you to go with us. Because for Israel, if God is not present, Israel will be on its own and abandoned, and Moses' leadership will be fragile and ineffective. Only Yahweh, God's presence, marks Israel as distinct, and the only claim to uniqueness is Yahweh's accompaniment. Here, I believe that for us at Park Avenue, we are a church only because Jesus Christ is the center. See, if Jesus Christ is not here in this place, well, we're just a nice community center, John. Or we're just what? We're just a nice little group where some people get together, multiracial, multi-ethnic. Oh, and we like to sing real good, and sometimes we help each other and we help other people. That's real nice. But what makes us who we are is that Jesus is here. And if Jesus is not here, we may as well walk out the door. If Jesus is not here, then the question is, what are we here for? Jesus has to be the center. And so the thing that Moses is asking, he's asking to see God's glory. He's asking to know that God's presence is there. And Moses is asking, he's asking God to show, basically what Moses is asking and asking for God's glory is, he's asking, Lord, take me in closer. Take me in a little deeper. He's saying, like, draw me in more dangerously, more intimately to the very core of your own self. That's what Moses is saying. Moses has been real bold and audacious in this prayer, and he's reached the full limit of what he would ask. But I hear Moses saying just basically, God, that when I'm going through, Lord, I want to see you in the midst of my situation. I hear Moses asking for a blessed assurance, a visible sign that God will be fully present as Israel goes forward. And there is something about when we come to God in prayer. When we come to God in prayer, that our vision shifts and the fog clears and we get realigned and we get recentered. I believe there is something that happens when we go to God and our vision begins to change. I love this story that Tommy Tenney, he's a writer, a Christian writer, and he tells this story about when he was on an elevator with his little 4-year-old girl. And he says, like, they get on the elevator, and as they on, it stops at different floors, and the elevator keeps filling up and filling up. And finally, he hears his little girl, and she's pulling on his leg, and he bends down, and he hears her say, "Pick me up, Daddy. I can't see from down here." I believe that's what Moses is just simply saying. God, pick me up, Daddy. I can't see from down here because it's a mystery. I don't know how prayer works like that, but I know that when we go to God and when we come real to God and we let ourselves be broken wide open for God, something happens and we can see God in a new way. And God does what the word says that it will do. God will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on God. That's my story, and I'm a witness to that. God keeps us in perfect peace. The audacious power of prayer moves us to see God who is gracious and God who is merciful, God who is able. Prayer that moves us to a deeper knowing of God's ways and God's presence and God's plans. Not fully. Not fully. Because God lets us see only in part. Oh, God lets us see only in part, not fully, but God knows us fully. And we see, but we only see dimly. We only see in part and we only see dimly. But I tell you, it's enough. God lets us see enough that we're able to walk it out and we're able to keep moving forward. And so the question this morning is, do you need some peace today? Do you need some blessed assurance? Do you need a fuller manifestation of God's presence, God's abiding presence? I tell you this morning, you can press in to God in prayer. I love the ending of this text. The Lord says to Moses, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover you with my hand until I pass by." Oh, I hear the Lord saying to us this morning that we can stand on the rock. I hear God saying to us this morning that we can stand on the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, who is our rock. I hear God saying that you can come, and if you want to see him, you can go and stand on the rock whose name is a strong tower. Jesus, the rock who is Emmanuel, God with us and God for us. Jesus, the rock, our Prince of Peace. Jesus, who gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Do you know the rock this morning? You can stand on the rock. Jesus, the one who is our wonderful Savior, the one who gives us a grace that never ends. Jesus, the rock who is the lover of our soul, the one whose love overflows my soul. Oh, I don't know about you, but when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace in every high and stormy gale. My anchor holds within the veil on Christ. The solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you know him this morning? You can stand in him. You can rest in him. He'll show you his ways. He'll let you see his presence. He'll tell you the way to go. He will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You can go to him this morning. You can come real to God this morning. And you can pray audacious prayers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. 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 And this morning, we always want to...